It's Thursday, 16th of July, and you're listening to The Grincast, Game Grin's weekly podcast on all things gaming, with some added off-topic banter. Joining me today are Ace.
Hola.
Dom.
Howdy, guys.
And, of course, Fowler.
Hello from Canada.
And you're your host for this evening, Cal. Now, before we start, let's take a moment to pay our respects for Nintendo President Satoru Iwata, who sadly passed away earlier this week at the age of 55. Most known for overseeing the production of the Wii and DS, he was also the host of Nintendo Direct, coining the phrase, "Please understand." He was a man who put gaming and innovation first, ahead of sales and profits. He'll be greatly missed, and Nintendo won't be the same without him. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. He was a great man.
I don't know if we were doing a minute silence there.
I don't know, but he was.
Don't make for good order.
He would certainly be missed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to, what Nintendo's going to do next.
Yes. I mean, yeah, when you think about it, because he's a man who coined, coined, please understand, but, you know, he was the one who made the Wii and the DS and brought them forth to work, because people thought, motion controls, really? But look how hugely successful it was.
The phrase I've thrown around is that he made gaming for everyone, not just for gamers. And I think the Wii is the antithesis of that, really, isn't it? You had your grannies in nursing homes playing with the Wii. And I think the statement was hit on the head there.
Yeah, what I didn't realize about him was that as the president, I assumed he didn't really do much. And once I actually looked into him a bit more, I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's funny how these things happen. See, I mean, reading about the history of him, he started off as a programmer for HAL Laboratories and sort of just worked his way from there to become the president of Nintendo.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like he started at the bottom. He was a programmer, not a game tester.
Yeah. Oh.
I suppose.
Bin man.
Is that what we are here at GG? Just at the bottom?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, let's now, brighten things up. So let's talk about what games we've been playing this week, which is starting to become a bit of a regular feature on the show. So to start, Ace, what have you been playing this week or previewing or reviewing this week?
Well, I tried a couple of games recently that I got recently. I tried Peggle for the first time. I never got around to playing it in 2007 when it came out. And when I looked back, it turns out not a lot of good games came out in 2007. There was Super Mario Galaxy and Assassin's Creed, so I didn't really have any reason not to play it. But that was interesting. I also tried Drive Club, the PlayStation Plus edition, and it just emphasized the fact that I'm terrible at driving games.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I downloaded it as soon as it became the Plus title, and I was pretty shit at it. Someone described it to me as an arcade racer, and I was like, this is not an arcade racer. I was thinking it was going to be Need for Speed.
Me too. The fact that it starts off on a mountain where it's snowing, and literally before you reach any menus, that's the race you have to do, it really sets the tone.
Yeah. I mean, visually, it's an amazing, beautiful-looking game. I just can't get to grasp of the controls. I found that with Project Cars as well. I couldn't get really into that. Again, beautiful-looking game. I'll happily sit there and look at screenshots and watch some gameplay. But if I attempt to play it, I was like, oh, shit at this.
I've never been too into the sim, the full sim games, like Project Cars and whatnot, but I didn't mind Need for Speed and stuff when I was... when I used to have a console.
Well, the last racing game that I played, played and enjoyed was whatever the last Need for Speed was, Most Wanted.
Rivals was the last one.
Oh, then not even the latest Need for Speed.
Although, to be fair, I prefer, because Most Wanted was the last one made by Criterion, which was very sort of Burnout Paradise 2, essentially. But Rivals was okay, I suppose. It was just the typical cops and robbers. It was basically Hot Pursuit made into open world. I still need to go back to it, to be fair. Now, I would say, what's Dom been playing? But for some reason, he's disappeared.
And he's back.
And he has returned.
Sorry, I just had to go shed a tear. Just speaking about Iwata.
That's fine, you haven't missed much. Apart from the Ace talking about his games. Shame on you.
Can I just chuck in a joke now? Just to make it seem like I was here all along.
Go on then.
What are Mario's overalls made of?
Dunno.
Denim, denim, denim.
Oh my god. I haven't heard that one.
Oh dear.
Sorry, Ace, carry on.
Well, thank you for your return, Dom. You would be next on the list to ask what you've been playing this week. Because you've so rudely disappeared, I'm going to ask Fowler, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing a very interesting game, actually, that I'm reviewing, and it's called No Time to Explain. And it's definitely got an interesting take on starting with an intro where a guy just jumps out and says, I'm you from the future, there's no time to explain, come with me, and then gets snatched up by a giant crab.
Okay, sounds random.
It's been interesting, though, so far.
So I'm guessing the plot, you find out what the situation is. You find out that what there is to explain.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. So far, I've just been chasing the claw that's dragging my future self away. There's also been a lot of screaming about my organs are on the outside now. So far, it's pretty funny. I've also been playing a lot of Rocket League, which I highly recommend to anyone who likes football or, well, just football or cars, pretty much.
I wasn't saying that. It's just a crazy old little game just to play, even if you're not a football fan.
Yeah, I hate football and I love Rocket League.
Yeah.
It's been surprising how much finesse that game actually can, like, if you get really good at controlling, propelling yourself through the air and stuff. Like, I've seen some of the devs where they're just flying around the place. They barely even touch the ground.
It's certainly one of those games that is easy to pick up, difficult to master.
And a lot of fun to just pick up.
Yes. And if you remember what previous game was called before the Rocket League, because it's actually a sequel.
It's like Supersonic Mega Rocket Cars or something like that, isn't it?
I can't actually remember it myself.
Something like that.
I didn't even know it was actually a sequel.
Yes.
Spiritual successor more than sequel, I think. That's what they sold as.
Okay, here it is. It was previously Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Powered Battle Cars.
So Rocket League's a little bit catchier.
Yes, it's got a catchy name to it, Rocket League.
I'm also liking how it's immediately gotten a like a very competitive professional season or series so far. I mean, it just came out a couple weeks ago, right?
It came out last week because it was this month's PlayStation Plus title. And straight away, the servers were just hammered. Could not play online whatsoever.
Yeah, I was actually trying to get on before the cast, and the servers were down again.
See, I looked at it first and thought, it's probably going to be a bit shit. And then it wasn't until someone kept telling me, oh, we've got to download it, it's free, man, just download it, play it. I thought, all right, I'll give it a go. Holy shit, this is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm buying a used adapter for a controller just for this game now. Just so I can use my Xbox controller with the PC.
Oh yeah, I don't know what the PC controls are like, but it seems like it's definitely a game that needs to be played on a controller.
I haven't had too much trouble, surprisingly.
Yeah, I wonder if the crossplay works. If so, we'll have to have a match at one point.
Yes, we will. But yeah, it's all I've been consumed with Rocket League mainly.
Don't blame you. Okay, Dom. So apart from telling terrible jokes, what have you been playing this week?
Well, believe it or not, I'm still trucking through The Witcher.
I'm still heavily.
Almost finishing the campaign.
I still need to go
just
back to it.
Just you think it's about to finish. I mean, how do we feel about spoilers? I haven't finished the game, but I'm a good two-thirds of the way through.
I've only just got to Skellig. So I'm still a little early on.
All right, well, let's just say your main quest is completed, and then you've got another however many hours to complete. And I just find myself getting, I imagine everyone is exactly the same. You go and do one thing, and on your way you get distracted by a side quest, and that opens up five more side quests in a Witcher contract, and so on and so on. You just find yourself down a rabbit hole of Witcher goodness.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is, like, I dedicate days to things I'm going to do. So one day I'll just do pure side quests. Next day I'll do pure witch contracts. Next day, unlocking question marks and just going like that. And I've actually managed to do all the side quests that I had at one point, which is working out pretty good. God, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I've sort of been the same. I've not had the time to just sit there and play all evening, but I've got loads of main quests. I found that it's not just one main story quest. Like with Dragon Age, for example, you've got the main big story quest and it just tells you to go here. Then you've got all the little side quests, but there's loads of multiple main story. Like, I've got one where I've got to find one of the main characters from Witcher 2. And,
and
then I've got another one where I am still searching for Ciri. And it's just all spread out from there. Of course, as you said, it just one little contract or little quest leads on to something else, and then something happens.
Yeah.
And you think, holy shit, this is just supposed to be a contract. I'm supposed to only just kill a monster.
But
the plot thickens.
The only downside I can find to it, the main quest is the weakest link of them all, because essentially, so the main quest is you have to find Ciri. And in finding Ciri, you find the first person, you say, have you found this girl? And they're like, yes, but I'll tell you when you find this person, you find them. And it's just that and that and that and that. That's all you seem to be doing is finding people. I don't know if you find that, Cal.
Yeah, it did find a little tedious at first, because that's the typical sort of RPG thing, isn't it? You're searching for something.
Classic Western RPG.
And you're like, oh, I need to find... Oh, you know where it is. Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you until you do something for me. No, thanks.
And why can't you just beat the crap out of them? Witcher, just beat them to a pulp and get them to speak.
Just like Batman in Arkham Knight.
Exactly. A couple of broken ankles.
I was saying with Batman, he's proper brutal in this new one.
I love that. I saw a GIF, and it was like, Batman doesn't kill, but at least people with broken limbs and internal bleeding out on a cold winter's evening.
Yeah.
He doesn't kill them, he walks away, and then they die.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a GIF of him calling the Batmobile and landing next to a bridge. Batmobile was on the bridge and decided to follow him roof first and landed on him.
The AI of the Batmobile is pretty terrible.
I've heard nothing but bad things about that.
The driving Batmobile is it's just terrible. Mentioning Batman.
But yes.
As I just say, point.
Sorry, other than which I've just started reviewing Zen Pinball 2, the Ant-Man table. So stark contrast in the review of that should be going up in the next couple of days.
Oh, very good. That'd be nice to see. Although I've never been much interested in the Zen Pinball. I found that there's just too many. Is it just pretty much just the exact same game, but you're just paying for different pinball?
Well, I don't really know, because I've never played Zen Pinball before, so this is my first one.
Ah.
But like, from doing a bit of Googling and stuff, I think you get different, they call them tricks on the table, so there'll be different holes to aim for that will reward you in different ways.
I suppose it's just
listen.
I suppose it's just a digital game version of the ones you find everywhere. If it's movie related,
pinball. Yeah, at the end of the
pinball.
Well, this, as you say, if there was a row of pinball machines, you'd choose which one to put your money into.
Exactly.
And
you go for the one that you want. So if it's Star Wars, Terminator, or whatever. I remember when there was a Jurassic Park one, just literally before I went to see Jurassic World. We went off to this crappy little museum, and they happened to have a Jurassic Park pinball machine. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is a sign. Then I go and watch Jurassic World and realize it was good. I don't want to say any more about it, if you haven't seen it. Well, I suppose that just leaves me then. To be fair, I've been really stupidly busy. I've been trying to get some time in to play Rocket League, and as I said to Dom, just jumping between Witcher 3. I did, though, on the weekend, get to try out, because there was on Steam, there was a free weekend of that shark diver killing simulator, Depth. Yes. I actually ended up buying it because I looked at the prices and it was like $18.99 or something, and it was 66% off. And everywhere I looked, I thought, wow, that's the cheapest. And I only had like an hour left to play and I was really getting into it. So I thought, might as well just buy it.
It is a fun game.
It feels like a game, though. I was looking on Steam stats, and although it was up to like 10,000 people playing it because of the free weekend, as soon as I went back to it a couple of days ago after the free, it dropped down to about 3,000, which is still a good player count, but it might get lower than that.
Still better than Evolve.
Yeah.
Is this a different shark game than the one Alex was talking about last week?
Yeah, yes. I got confused by that. I looked up the one Alex reviewed. That one is essentially like a death match between other divers, and the sharks are pretty much the threat that's lingering around. This one's
they're NPCs.
Yeah, this one is pretty much you've got four players who take control of the divers, and their job is basically to collect gold and protect a little submarine thing that collects gold from safe boxes. And then you've got two players who take control of sharks that go in and try and take out all the divers. And it's just basically once all the lives are depleted, sharks win or divers win if they escape. It's pretty fun. And the controls are surprisingly well for a game that's you're underwater all the time. It feels very... It's a first-person shooter, but it still feels really strafey because you're underwater, so you can strafe backwards and forwards and sprint and all that.
Sharks are the new zombies, aren't they, of games, let's face it.
No, it's going to be dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
Which I have no problem against. Of course...
No, it's fine.
I have also been playing a bit of Ark, which Fowler and I don't know if you've got it. No, you don't have it, Dom.
It's the Ark and Shark Hour.
Ah, we don't want to do a repeat of that. But yes, I did buy Ark. I played it for a couple of hours. I couldn't get my head around it at first. I got my ass kicked. I got killed. Somebody robbed me. And I kind of cried at first because of how many times I died. But I eventually got my head around things. I started crafting things and things like that. The trouble I don't like about these... And it's not really a permadeath game, but it's one of them survival games. As soon as you die, you lose everything. So you have to start all over again. Fair enough, keep your level, and you can just... I suppose you can go back and regather things up again. But if you've spent so many hours collecting shit, like with DayZ, if you spend so much time finding all this stuff, which is hard enough in DayZ, you get killed, and you start all over again. I just feel, what's the point? But I'm sure Fowler would know more, because you've played more of it than me.
Oh, I think it's K hours in DayZ mod.
Yeah.
So, I guess I do understand that a bit. It's more, at least with DayZ, it's each time you can kind of think of yourself as a new person, like a new character with a different story.
Yeah.
But with Ark, I think it's more just... On your own, it's a lot harder, whereas if you and I were on the same server and you die, I can just say, okay, I'll grab your stuff if you happen to die to some dinosaur that I kill afterwards.
Oh, definitely. I feel like it's a game that is certainly better off when you're in a group with people. But when I was on my lonesome trying to search around, I got my ass kicked and got killed, and someone pretty much just robbed me. As soon as I got my first set of pants, someone robbed me, just killed me, and I was like...
Then you run around naked the rest of the time.
At least it's not like Rust with everyone's penis size.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found with that game is once you learn the basics of how to survive, then it's a lot. It will get easier on your own as well. Once you learn how to even tame specific dinosaurs, which berries they like to eat, or whether they're a carnivore, that kind of stuff helps a lot.
Yeah, I need to look into that. I've not actually had my chance to. The most I got is I got a spear, threw it, got it stuck in a dinosaur, and then it ended up killing me.
Yeah, your best bet with those spears is to just don't even use them. Because they either, when you throw them, it consumes it, and it's stuck in the dinosaur until you kill it, or you try to jab at it, and it snaps in half after three or four hits.
Yeah. Of course, as well, you've also got to survive with you're too hot, or you need water, or all that. Just usual... tropes of survival games.
I'd have to say, though, out of Rust, between Rust, Ark, and every other survival game other than DayZ, like all the arcadey kind of ones, I think this has been my favorite, most polished alpha out of all of them.
Definitely. visually, it's a fantastic looking game. The Unreal Engine 4 has definitely been pushed. And it's surprisingly well optimized now. When I first heard it, people, like I said, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's pretty crap in its optimization because the developers are focused more on content and actually getting the game to work, which is probably better off than getting it actually working and then optimize it as the game progresses. And now it's actually in a perfectly playable state.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So that's been... Oh, has Dom got something to say?
No, I was going to just say, from what I've seen of Ark, it doesn't look that great. Not in terms of gameplay, in terms of graphical prowess. I don't think it stands up to games that you see now, but I suppose it's still early doors, isn't it?
If you were watching like YouTube videos and stuff or streamers playing it,
on Twitch, I'm watching it.
That would be why then. A lot of them still have their settings not tweaked properly so that the game looks good but is still playable at a good frame rate.
Yeah, especially when they're trying to record it as well. You've got to try and keep a balance, performance and visual quality. Because the first footage I saw was just, it looked freaking awful compared to the footage they showed, the developer showed.
Yeah. And once you actually hop in yourself and tweak the settings to your computer, you'll notice there's a huge difference because you're not recording.
Definitely. I suppose that does bring us on to the main topic of this evening. As Ark is an early access title, it's one of them little topics that we can sort of discuss about whether it's we have the right to complain when developers ignore a community when they bought an early access title. So let's discuss about that. Obviously, there's loads of titles. DayZ's been going on for freaking ages. That's still an alpha, even after, what, a year, 2 years since its release? We've got newcomers, Ark, early access, loads of freaking shitty old half-assed Unity engine games that are just dropped onto Greenlight and early access, and developers either just fuck off with our money or they just don't support the game, even though we've paid for it. I suppose the saving grace nowadays is Steam's refund. So what's our thoughts on that, people? I know Fowler wants to say something.
Yeah, what I was going to say actually was I'd suggested this topic to Alex after I had posted my DayZ article where I had complained about how I feel like the devs don't really know, it sounds stupid, but how to dev. I had someone that was saying stuff like, well, it's early access and we have no right to complain.
Yeah.
But the whole idea, from what I understand, and tons of other games promote this, is if you buy under early access as a community, you get input onto how the game changes, like what you like, what you don't like.
That's how it's designed. It was first shown off to be, when Steam were doing it, developers were saying, help us go through the development progress and make the game better. Sorry, trying to say we're working with the community. But nowadays, people just think that they can just chuck out a game that's half-assed and barely completed and say, oh, it's early access. This is not what it's going to actually be.
Yeah, and that's what's been absolutely driving me insane with Bohemia, who is a big company. They should know better than this, is that there are tons of people that make the same complaint over and over again where, you know, DayZ is supposed to be kind of a simulator with ballistics and stuff like that. And the weapon sway, your arms actually swing in a full circle when you're breathing heavily. And when you hold a rifle or a pistol or any kind of weapon in your hands in real life, your aim, no matter how heavily you're breathing, it goes up and down with your breathing pattern.
Yeah.
So people have been complaining over and over again. They keep saying it's early access, yet they're not listening to the community.
They're just not taking suggestions.
No.
At the top of every single early access game, you'll find a list of questions and answers, what the developers have to say. And one of the questions is always, how are you planning on involving the community in your development process? So it's right there at the top saying that they are going to involve the community.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's just so infuriating, because I know so many people that are hardcore mod players that are coming to this with tons of what I would say is valuable information. The streamers I watch, I know they love this game. They have so many great ideas for it, yet these guys refuse to listen.
It seems like a lot of time developers just... Because even in looking at a store page on Steam with an early access title, it says, join the discussion with the developers. And a lot of the time, the developers just say, oh, this is what we've done, and we're ignoring your feedback.
Yeah. Whereas with, I'm sorry, I used to keep bringing it up, but with Ark, when people made a complaint that you couldn't back up, like make your dinosaurs walk backwards, they fixed it. They actually said, okay, people want to be able to move their dinosaur backwards. We'll put that in. People started saying the frame rate doesn't work. Okay, well, we'll optimize it now and then we'll try to make it even better later on. Whereas with the DayZ devs, it's been nothing but, well, it's early access, so we can take our time with the new renderer. We can take our time with the loot system.
Now, as someone looking in to the PC gaming community, because I'm strictly console, is there any sort of agreement between Steam and the developers that after a game goes on early access, they have to have a finished product done by X year or X number of months? Or is it strictly they can put it on early access and leave it for as long as they want?
They did change it not too long ago to it's more of a guideline than a hard than something that has to be done. But as a guideline, your game must be mostly done and in a playable state before it goes on early access.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can complain to Steam if you find one that isn't in a playable state or.
It's a lot of the green light titles that are usually being released or broken. It's still early access games. It is so partially the developer's fault as well, because they should, if they're going to make huge promises of their game, then they should have at least something that's stable enough. And that's the trouble with some of the refund system on Steam at the moment. Steam basically says, if you can play for 2 hours, if you don't like it within 2 hours, you can get a refund. But after that 2 hour time limit, that's it, you can't really get rid of it. But that's not really a lot of time for some of these early access titles. No.
Like, for a first-person shooter, 2 hours is plenty. For a 200-hour RPG, what, you're going to complete the tutorial in 2 hours.
Exactly.
And it has to be in 2 weeks of purchase.
Yes, 2 weeks.
Oh, good. I'd probably have most games downloaded by then.
It seems a bit like a double-edged sword, really, because on the one hand, you've got the chance to play a game that developers have been, you know, shoving down your throats forever long, and they're saying, okay, look, you can play this before it's actually complete, you can help us along the way. And then on the other side, they just leave you to it and they assume that you're happy just playing on that forever long. It's almost like you can't really win.
Yeah, I still don't know how I feel about the whole refund policy thing either, because it really is kind of, it's so hit or miss. Either, like you said, with an FPS, you're going to know within 2 hours whether you like it, but even then, it's kind of like with a lot of shooters, how much replay value does it actually have? You can't tell within 2 hours, so it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the refund policy should be adjusted for early access and green light titles. If
For early access,
definitely,
yeah.
Early access. I mean, I would say maybe not change the length of time that you can play it, but perhaps change the length of time that you can get a refund on the product. So it's 14 days for a full, complete retail product. That's what you're going to get. It's done. But if it's an early access title and you first get it, the game could be freaking broken. And then straight away, you're going to be like wanting to get a refund. But if the developers are saying, oh, we promised this, we promised that, then you might think, oh, I'll give them a chance then and let them fix the game. So I think if they should increase it by, I don't know, put it to 28 days, or at least give you more time to play the game, I suppose.
Yeah, I would agree with that, for early access at least, just because you have no idea how they're going to follow up on all their promises. I mean, look at the Stomping Land. That was perhaps one of the worst investments anyone could have ever made with any early access title, because the guys just took off with the money, right?
Wasn't that a Kickstarter as well, if I remember right?
It was a Kickstarter that made it to Steam Early Access as well. And they offered nothing in return for these guys. They updated maybe 4 times over the course of 6 months or something, and then all of a sudden just said, nope, we're not developing it anymore.
Are there any, again, excuse my ignorance, but are there any big, big games that started life as early access and then came and were like sweethearts of the community?
H1Z1, I would say.
No, that's a complete game now, is it?
No, it's still early access, very early access. But what they did was That's what you're asking, right? Like any early access that have actually been sweethearts to the community?
Yeah, but once they've become a fully fledged title out of early access.
Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, Elite Dangerous for sure.
Actually, that came out of Kickstarter. It was not an early access game, though.
I would still consider that an early access title because you got to buy into the alpha version.
That's true.
I wouldn't say that early access is just limited to if it makes it on the Steam Greenlight and stuff like that. I'd say anything where you can buy into the alpha version of the game. I would say Don't Starve has been really good to its community as well. They had promised that they would, once the game was full release, they'd work on a multiplayer addition to it. They did say it was DLC, but that they would still, like, they would work on it afterwards, and they actually held up to their end of the bargain with that.
I suppose another developer I'd say as well is the guys who made Killing Floor 2. That game straight away came out just perfectly 100% playable. The only thing it felt it was missing, because it was classed as an early access, is, yeah, all right, fair enough, it only had three or four maps, and it had quite a few fair missing weapons. It was only about 3 weapons per character. But the game looked beautiful, played perfectly, well optimized, and was, you know, in a good enough state as it is. I wouldn't even warrant it to be actually an early access title, but the developers have put it as an early access title because they say it's a beta, essentially.
Yeah.
Here's a stat for you. So this is from GameSpot. Got to get your references in. So, quote, we're seeing more and more games take advantage of Steam's early access program, but so far only 25% of them, so 25% of every early access title, has been finished and released as a full game. That's not a lot, is it, really, considering
25%. That's a lower number than I thought, to be fair.
I'm not too surprised. I mean, there are always those companies that release the quickie early access horror games and stuff like that, where they do the first couple levels and then, nope, we're done.
Yeah, that's the trouble with some. Like I said, that's why they should increase the playtime on certain early access games. Because if it's just a shit game that the first, like Dom said, if it's an RPG and the tutorial is well polished and completely done, you're going to complete that in 2 hours and you go, oh, I can't get a refund on it now. And then you play more of it and then 3 hours in, it just is broken and doesn't work properly. You're stuffed.
Yeah. I'm sure there are going to be developers, well, not even developers, just some guy who gets the idea as well to figure out exactly how long it would take for you to use up those 3 hours, and that's as far as they get a full development done. I'm sure there will be people out there that will end up doing that, or have already done it. But I don't know if it's just me who believes. Like, I think we have a right. Yes, they can say the excuse about early access, but I do believe we have a right to complain when they don't follow up with what they're promising in the early access.
Most definitely. Basically lies at the end of the day, and you're just selling a product with lies and false advertising, and it doesn't look good for
empty
the developer.
Empty promises.
Exactly. Empty promises. And we do have the right to complain. I suppose it's with anything, though. You know, you can complain and bitch as you want until you go blue in the face. But it's the developer that should make the change. Because it will eventually get to a point where some person will just try and do some stupid petition and it might not go anywhere. But if it makes headlines, or if anything, it hits Reddit or something along those lines, then maybe the developers might actually make the change of the decision.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, unfortunately, because that early alpha...
Only in a perfect world.
It's an early alpha. Yeah. That excuse has just become so well known now that so many people accept it that, oh, it's early access, we can't complain. Well, we can.
I fear that when this hits, because after E3 with PlayStation games and Xbox One games getting the same sort of early access treatment coming to it, it might end up being down to Sony or Microsoft to actually force these or pressure these developers to actually fix their game, because that would be just shit PR. If Sony's got to go tell this developer, you've promised all this, we let you release your title early access and we let you do all this, but then you're not promising this, we're going to have to do something about that and might actually end up having to give refunds out.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that because me personally, apparently DayZ is supposed to be on the PlayStation in the next, within this year or something.
Yeah.
So I want to see how well that goes.
I see that happening.
Yes.
Well, Ark is promised for Xbox One and PS4 as well. It even says in their description.
Yeah. I've seen, they had working, prototypes though, already going at E3. From what I had seen. Yeah.
I heard it was going to be a Morpheus game. That would be awesome.
I'm not sure on the old VR thing.
I think it'd be pretty cool. But yeah, no, I think, at least with Ark, with those guys, I know they are actually trying to keep up with what they promise. I mean, if they were already showing the Xbox compatibility at E3, and the game had only been out for 2 or 3 months, so I mean, they're obviously working at that pretty well. I think those are a group of people that actually know that when they promise to release something to a console, that means they have to actually step up their game and release a polished alpha.
Something that's at least in a playable state.
Yeah. And isn't just going to be a crappy port to the console.
We've seen our fair share of that already with shitty ports.
Yeah, so far it's mostly been from console to PC, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, because of this next generation, I found that a lot of these remastered editions, which I can sort of coincide with bringing some in news for this week, but a lot of these remastered titles are sort of just getting out of nowhere. One of them being, which was recently announced and actually just popped up on Xbox, was the Prototype bundle. Prototype 1 and 2.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was on PS4 as well.
Yes.
But it appears that it's been put into 1080 or thereabouts, but no other differences to the last-gen versions.
Exactly. It's just literally just a half-ass money-grabbing port. And a lot of complaints is, I mean, I'm not too sure about the performance of it, but I know a friend of mine purchased, when they released Saints Row 4 on the PlayStation 4, that performance was just awful. Just, it looked, it may be in 1080p and it had an unlocked frame rate, but it looked almost worse than the Xbox 360 version. It had lots of missing shadowing and all these things. And again, it just seemed like a very half-assed port. And it's the same with the Handsome Collection, the Borderlands Handsome Collection. That too had really bad FPS problems until Gearbox had to patch it. I suppose all this remastered talk could be just for another topic. I think we should move on to some news. So what have we people got? Some nice, lovely news for us to talk about.
Have we?
I don't know. I'm the one who's supposed to be talking about it.
It's the host who usually...
Yeah, Cal,
okay, something that happened today. The game Deadpool from Activision, made by High Moon Studios, it was on sale in 2003 for 6 months, and then Activision's license ran out. So that and two X-Men games and a Spider-Man game got pulled from Steam, PSN, and Xbox Store. And today, it's Deadpool, not the others, have just popped back up on Steam.
Oh, there'll be an obvious reason for
that.
It's going to be for
the movie. That is.
That's because of the movie, yeah. The amount of great publicity that the movie's getting.
It's so obvious. They just think, we can get that, we can chuck that back out on the PC, and we know people will pay for it. Because I think it's like back up there for 40 quid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You said it came out in, well, I think you said 2003. I know you meant 2013. It's $49.99 still over here.
That's terrible. And it's not even a very good game.
No, I'd heard it's just witty and that's about it.
It's fun if you're a fan of Deadpool, which I am.
I don't know how I feel. It just seems weird that it's a two-year-old game. It's 2 years old, and they're still wanting $49.99 for it when it's been pulled off sale.
I think it's also Activision as well.
Activision wanted to make money.
Yeah, they did.
Shock horror.
does not surprise me. I mean, I suppose other news as well, apart from how terrible Activision is more drama about Hideo Kojima and Metal Gear Solid 5. I wanted to bring this up as well, because I was looking at it, and we're about 2 months away from Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yeah, just over 1 month, really. It's 1st of September, isn't
it? Yeah, and they've decided to revise the box art again, because previously there was this case story where Hideo Kojima and Kojima Productions all got removed from the website, or from Konami's website, and then they've just shown off the new box art again, which I think appeared on Amazon or one of the retailers, and someone noticed that a Hideo Kojima game and Kojima Productions got removed, and they're now saying that's the final box art. It's just another fuck you from Konami to Hideo.
Next, they're going to burn his house down.
Properly. It's like the message I posted probably saying their strategy for 2015. Which is essentially their 2015 strategy and planning. Fuck Hideo Kojima. Fuck Metal Gear. Fuck Silent Hill. Fuck it. Fuck you. Although it is leaked online, so we try not to share that too much. All internal use only. There's another thing I want to bring up as well about Batman Arkham Knight for PC. This is one of the stories that just sort of recently appeared on a couple of sites I've been checking out. There's a internal email that just randomly started appearing to Australia. I think it's this, the Australian retail chain EB Games claims that according to Warner, the PC version of Arkham Knight will not be fixed until at least this fall.
Yeah, I had actually read about that as well. They said this season or something, which means, I guess, not until September-ish.
Yeah.
That just seems... That's another thing of unpolished, completely unfinished, big release title.
See, when they first... never left. When they first said that, that Rocksteady were helping to fix the problems, my first thought was... Are Rocksteady just making their own PC port?
Yeah, I had a thought of that as well. Have they just... Because it feels like... because it's been palmed off to loads of different port teams and developers. If they just must have just given them a really old build and just to try and fix it. Or Rocksteady's just held on to the original version and just thought, fuck it, we'll just have to redo it ourselves. They've also delayed the Matter of Family DLC for the PC version by saying essentially we won't release it until we fixed it. So if it's true about this, the PC version not being fixed for months until fall or the end of the season, then we're going to be waiting a long time for the Matter of Family on PC.
Actually, I think it was DLC is unfinished. They haven't finished making it because all efforts are going to fixing the main game, which is worse.
Which should tell you something right away. I mean, they released it this unfinished. Has this ever happened before where they've actually pulled something from Steam to finish development?
No. Maybe an early access developer, but I've never seen an actual big AAA publisher do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is from Warner Bros., right? This is... Like, this is really looking bad on them right now.
But just imagine how different things would be if Steam didn't have their refund policy. Look at Mortal Kombat X. That was terrible on the PC, apparently.
Yeah, it was.
Well, one of the first updates for that deleted everyone's saves that they'd spent hundreds of hours doing.
Yes, I saw that. It's like, whoa, that is so bad.
With no way to return them to... It's just terrible. I'd have lost my mind.
Yeah, I would. I personally didn't actually buy it, but I had seen so many people playing it. Two of the streamers I actually watch very consistently were playing it and lost their saves and just quit.
It's one of them things. It's such a disheartening thing that you think, no, fuck it. I mean, it's not the first time that Warner Brothers have been a bit dodgy and a bit shady when it comes to actually fixing their games. When Arkham Origins came out, it had some pretty dodgy game-breaking bugs on the PC version, and they even made a statement just saying, we're not going to fix the game because the team is too busy making DLC.
Yep.
Which is the most pathetic thing you could ever say as a company. Exactly. We've already got your money for the main game, so we're just going to not fix that and just take more of your money for stuff that should be free anyways.
Yeah, and it's not looking too good for the season pass of Arkham Knight. I mean, they've announced some more skins coming to the game, and there's also people who have already been playing the Matter Family on console saying that it's not very good.
They're too short and not enough stuff to do. And
how much is the not the season pass, but the actual just that? Sorry, I'd forgotten the name already. The DLC for this, the family
Matter of Family.
Matter of Family. How much is that? Is it the usual?
I cannot remember.
I think it's about 6-7 quid when it comes out by itself.
Oh, Jesus.
And it'll be it's about an hour long apparently. I mean, I was disappointed by the Harley Quinn DLC, and I got my copy, and that was only about 10 minutes long.
So when
I'd heard it was about half an hour.
Hmm.
Oh wow.
It was about half an hour.
When you guys go to that's over here. When I'm doing the math in my head, from £6, that's probably 10 or 11 Canadian. It's a movie
7
ticket.
American.
Yeah, so about 10 Canadian.
And the season pass is £32.99.
So that's pretty much the cost of a movie ticket, and on average movies are 2.5 hours. So you're already, for entertainment value-wise, I mean, you're only getting an hour out of that when you could go to the movies or something and get 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but you're getting to fight Mark Hamill's Joker.
Or you could go on YouTube and watch someone play
for
it.
An hour. Yeah.
It is pretty
It just
dodgy.
Seems ridiculous. That seems grossly overpriced for how much content it is, and when all it is skin updates, which, realistically, how long does that take for someone to texture?
Oh, no, they're already done. They've been way done.
That's what I mean. The amount of money they're making compared to the effort they put in just isn't... It's not equivalent at all.
I'm really worried that to see what actually else they've got in... planned, because if it's just more skins, then they've just proper screwed all over screwdos who bought the season pass.
No, but I believe that each batch of season pass stuff is going to contain a story mission or challenges or something along those lines.
Well, there's not even any challenge rooms in the new one. Not like there is challenges you can select, but it's not like the other Arkham games where you actually had created challenge rooms.
Yeah, it's all augmented reality.
Yeah.
Quote.
Stupid. You're just re-repeating the same little sections from the game.
That's why I hated the Azrael missions.
I think eventually this is all just... I'm looking forward to the day where companies keep trying to put out DLC and they fall. It sounds bad, but I am looking forward to the day that they fall from it. I mean, I think we're already starting to see that with Turtle Rock, with Evolve. I mean, they expect Evolve to be a franchise where they keep making the games, yet I think they're going to be very shocked when they try to release a second one and it falls to the floor.
I'm back.
Welcome back, Dom. Just saw you return. We were just talking how rude and horrible the season pass is for Arkham Knight.
Ooh, I think we were talking about how just overall and horrible Arkham Knight is.
No, it's not a terrible game. It's just the season pass.
Not the game itself, but their work ethic.
Well, that's all Warner Brothers. That's not
the game
Rocksteady.
And season pass is the same price as two games, isn't it? It's 80 quid if you want the game and the season pass.
Yes, they've got the cheek to sell it for like 80 odd quid to have it included with the season pass.
Jesus.
They've said they'll give you 6 months worth of content, which is one thing. But if they need to guarantee that you're going to actually want that content, because it could just be 6 months of absolute twaddle. But
that's what we were just talking about, is how the first DLC is only about an hour of content. So if they're saying 6 months...
And a couple of new skins and stuff.
So you're saying with the original game, with the game and the season pass, it's 80 quid?
About that, I think, on the PlayStation Store, it's like the premium edition or something like that.
So how much is the season pass is actually 30 quid or?
Yeah, it's about that.
So for 30 quid, you're getting 6 months worth of stuff, but so far we've seen 1 hour from the first month.
And the next stuff coming next month includes Michael Keaton's Batman suit as a skin.
Whoopee.
The Batmobile.
They say 6 months worth of content, but I imagine that's just stuff they'll release for the next 6 months.
It could be six hours.
It's guaranteed.
We could see 6 hours worth of new gameplay.
It's guaranteed that the season pass will probably, because there was that Red Hood exclusive with GameStop or Game or something like that. That, without a doubt, will probably be part of the season pass, and they'll make it sound like it's great value.
Yeah, that and the Harley Quinn are both going to come out in probably about November, I think.
Yeah, they'll say that's part of the season pass, even though for all those who got it from a certain particular retailer, I've already got them.
But what Fowler just said brings up an interesting point. Mm. If altogether it is 6 hours worth of gameplay, then isn't your average 30 quid game roughly 6-7 hours?
Roughly about that, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, something like The Order, 1886, that was about 6-7 hours.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean,
it's the pain in advance, I think. That's my big problem with it. But then, if people are happy to do it, more for them.
Honestly, that's why I don't do it anymore. I'm one of those people who refuses. I won't buy any of the new Batman games. I'm trying not to buy the new Tomb Raider that's going to be coming out, because if I wait a couple months, it ends up going on sale with all the DLC for dirt cheap.
Exactly, and you know, without a doubt, we're looking at all the previous Batman titles. It's gonna get one of those stupid Game of the Year editions or the Ultimate Edition that they always release, like 4 months later.
You should always wait on PS5.
You should always wait for the Game of the Year edition. I've written about it myself. Yeah. You should always wait
for it.
Dragon Age. I wanted that, but I thought no, it's too much for that plus season pass and all this. But what, lo and behold, it's getting a definitive edition. Always happens.
On the other hand, can I just give a shout out to CD Projekt Red for getting their thing spot on? They're just giving out free DLC left, right, and centre.
Yeah, and they're not shoddy DLC either. I did a couple of the free contracts, and they're just as great and in depth as the main story. They feel a little bit like they deliberately picked them out to say, oh, we'll put that as a freebie. But all the costumes and next effect, like I even wearing the Skellig armor, the last piece of armor they gave out for free. That's a really cool piece of armor for my level.
More power to them.
Damn right. So I suppose we could always use that as another topic for the future, because in the saying that, with like Fowler explained, if your money is time, and if you're paying 60 or 50 quid for the cost of these games nowadays, or whatever the equivalent is in your Canadian dollar, you want to get your money's worth. And I suppose we could always talk about at a later date. There's always, as well as the discussion of anything else that you can think of, just shout out, as I say. But looking at the time, it's fair to say that we've come to the end of the show. So I hope you enjoyed it. But I want to hear your opinion. So when this gets uploaded onto our website, why not leave a comment? And if you have any questions, we'll be sure to read them out on the next show. And we'll do our best to answer them. But for now... anything to say?
I was just going to say, I'd personally like to hear everyone else's opinion on early access and where... that topic, whether we do have the right to complain.
Yes, that'd be really great to hear people's opinion. So if you're listening to us, be sure to leave a comment. So with that said, I'm your host, Cal, and I've been joined by Ace.
Thank you for having me. You can catch me on Twitter at AceLister.
Dom.
It's been a pleasure. I have now changed my Twitter handle after no one can spell my surname, and you can find me at DangeWrites.
Okay, and Fowler.
And I can be found at FowlerFire.
Oh, good. And I've been your host, Cal. And if you want to really follow me on Twitter, don't really well know why, but I'm at CalMine. And you've been listening to The Grincast. Be sure to check out our website, www.gamegrin.com, for more news, reviews, and articles. Twitter, at GameGrin. Facebook by searching GameGrin, and also be sure to check out our Game on Mag, full of wonderful articles by our staff. Thanks again for listening, and till next time, Game On!